In 1997, the first social media platform was invented under the name 6degrees.com. A year later, Google was created. Social media, as we know it today, started with Facebook in 2004 and YouTube in 2005, which means that Gen Z, our generation, was basically born together with social media. But what effects this invention has on the mental health of our and future generations is what we want to discuss in this episode. Welcome to Mind Bites. My name is Lily.
And my name is Vincent.
And we talk every Tuesday about a technical invention and its impact on our society. We start with some basic biology facts about how our mental health is influenced by social media. According to the US Surgeon General's advisory, up to 95% of youth ages 13 to 17 report using a social media platform, with more than a third saying they use social media almost constantly. In that certain age, the brain regions associated with the desire for attention, feedback, and reinforcement from peers become more sensitive. The brain regions involved in self-control have also not fully matured, which means that social media has a significant impact on those factors. It also influences the yearning for social interaction, which is a normal part of adolescent development.
Social media causes depression, anxiety, low self-esteem, envy, loneliness, fear of rejection, and can lead to ADHD symptoms. Social media can intensify the symptoms of depression, can increase the loneliness and decrease your social activities. Teens are particularly vulnerable to feeling down about themselves and their bodies when following.
An almost constant use of technical devices, as the teens in the study said, can also lead to losing sleep due to the blue light exposure, and the need to be available and up to date causes a distraction throughout the whole day. A 2016 study of more than 450 teens proved that greater social media use, nighttime social media use, and emotional investment in social media, such as feeling upset when prevented from logging in, were each linked with worse sleep quality and higher level of anxiety and depression, which leads us to our main theme of this episode, which is the impact on our mental health. Yet, not everything about social media is negative. Sure, it has a significant impact on, for example, body image and self-esteem, but those can also be positive. It can provide a platform for body positivity, community support, and health and fitness inspiration.
Yes, that's true. But it can also contribute to unrealistic beauty standards and unhealthy comparisons. During pandemic, when kids had a lot more time home alone, they spent their time consistently on social media. A flurry of new diagnoses of eating disorders showed up. The reason is really simple. If kids start watching much videos of bodybuilding, the algorithm shows more of it. Then everything is related to body image and weight. People get insecure about themselves and get depressed.
It surely is terrible if kids get depressed, but if they're struggling, they can find other people online who may be going through the same. There are just so many ways how kids can learn more about themselves on social media and get to know, for example, their sexualities or identities by connecting with people from those communities. They can get so many new information because of people who share their knowledge online.
They probably learn lots of new things. But especially on TikTok, for example, the content often contains misinformation or is promoting dangerous behaviors, such as eating disorders and self-harm. So when teens are exposed to unsafe behaviors like substance abuse or self-harm, they are at greater risk of engaging in similar behaviors.
Oh, that reminds me of a movie I saw a while back named Suicide Room. I don't know if you heard about it.
Well, I actually never did.
It's about a boy who gets bullied online by some of his classmates for being gay. He starts isolating himself in his room and joins an online platform with the name Suicide Room, on which people talk about their struggles, which is good, but also about wanting to kill themselves and doing self-harm. In the end, the protagonist, who at the beginning just felt a little lonely, is so involved in the website that he kills himself, and all that just because some girl he chatted with wanted to kill herself together with him, but didn't show up where they wanted to meet. So I guess you're right, and social media or the internet is dangerous, but it can also raise awareness towards such sensitive topics, and teens can find people who share their interests and identities.
Connecting communities aren't purely bad. I didn't mean to say that, but you've only mentioned positive aspects, and in my opinion, there's always two sides of the story. For example, racism. Racism is also a product of connecting communities and is automatically integrated in platforms like Instagram or Snapchat. Algorithms are programmed in a way that some filters won't appear on a darker skin color. That is called filter bias. And algorithm bias is the content you see based on some people you follow. That means it appears more stuff you were already watching, as I've mentioned earlier. Besides that, another negative aspect is cybermobbing. A representative study of University of Münster 2011 found out that 32% of teens are victims of cybermobbing. But what gets me more worried is that 21% of those surveyed could imagine to be the culprit. So, what do you think? How many types of cybermobbing exist?
I don't know, I would say about 2 or 3.
Well, there are many more. But I got the 6 main things of cybermobbing. The first one is cyberstalking. These are mostly people that know each other or someone who's obsessed with someone else. Second one, denigration. People who are searching for revenge. MLF is the acronym for human without a friend. Grooming, these are mostly guys that pretend to be kids to get the chance to sexually abuse other kids. Fifth, harassment, I think that's clear. And 6, impersonation. This is cybermobbing with false identity. Well, it's actually kind of the same with grooming.
Okay, that's definitely more than I thought. After talking so much about statistics and stuff like that, we as part of Gen Z want to end this episode with some of our personal experiences. I, for instance, experienced that my life seems less exciting than the ones from the people I see online. And both of us agreed that body positivity is great, but when nearly everyone online, especially beautiful people like models, tell you to love yourself and that you are beautiful, it doesn't have as much impact and you lose faith in what they are saying. Certain beauty standards that developed over time are just unreachable nowadays. And social media lowers your self-esteem because you base feelings on reactions and or likes and compare yourself to others. And it's also very addicting because of the short feeling of happiness that you get when someone likes your post. Thank you for listening to Mind Bites, and if you liked it, you can follow us so you won't miss the next episode. See you next time!